Well, good morning and welcome to the Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Bad Start. Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Doubt Brass Talks. Today is the 12th day of January 2021, my first program for 2021. And I am so happy to be with you to be able to have these important conversations over the course of the next 4 hours. Of course, you can call us on 434-1790. You can use the chat, 266-IVOB. I'm on the chat now. I'll be happy to speak to you in that way. We also have my email address, which is peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. The team this morning, myself, Peter Wickham, of course, and Mr. Dennis Johnson, he is in the production seat. We should have no technical issues because his colleague or his cousin, Mr. David Johnson, has just left the room. So all the technical issues will be resolved as he has left. So we are on good grounds and we're ready to start. I'm looking forward to a very active and intense conversation over the next 4 hours. We have a lot to talk about. And let me get down to business quickly dealing with my prefatory remarks. So let me say Happy New Year to all of you, first and foremost, especially those of you who have been in contact recently to express New Year wishes for me. I especially want to mention Ms. Undecided, who I spoke to yesterday, and she conveyed New Year's greetings. Ms. Undecided, good Happy New Year to you, and I do hope that you and I can converse in less hostile tones during the course of this year, and I look forward to hearing from you. Best wishes to you and your family. I also, on a personal note, want to thank all of you who have offered congratulations to me on the occasion of my first anniversary. I am heartened and appreciate very much the sincere sentiments, especially coming from those of you who may not necessarily support the institution to which I have been adopted, but nonetheless offer me best wishes and wish the best for me. And I want to thank all of you who have offered congratulations on this, my first anniversary, which I hope to be first of many more to come. No, getting down to business. There's a lot that we cannot control regarding this COVID issue, but I think it's important for us to understand and deal with the areas that we can mitigate, because of course, a lot of it is out of our hands, but where the issues that we can deal with, I think that we ought to deal with those issues. I want to deal specifically today with the 11 plus and with education in a broader context. And I want to start with this whole question of CXC and Kate. I noted recently that some of the parents who had been asking for a resolution to the situation have said that this issue is still ongoing. The remarks have been forthcoming and they are unhappy with the situation. Of course, this does not surprise me because I've been saying from the beginning that the idea of remarking a situation or remarking a script, which the basis of which is flawed, will essentially return the problem that existed in the first place. I really do feel that we need to have a more proactive position taken on this. I think we need to have a more creative position taken on this. I think we need to have a position that anticipates or takes into consideration the fact that for a better part of last year, students were not exposed to the teaching in normal methods. And as a result, there may be some need to deal with an amelioration of grades across the board. I think it highly unacceptable that this situation is still going on. And I want to place a lot of the responsibility in the laps of the goodly Professor Beckles. Professor Beckles is easily the most senior academic in the region. Professor Beckles is intelligent beyond the level of most of us. And Professor Beckles has a worldview that should allow him to be able to take full control of the situation as chairman of CXC and do something about it. You know, I'm hearing about Black Lives Matter. I'm hearing about reparations. I'm hearing about all of these issues. And I don't have a problem with us dealing with those, but here is a situation that is local. Here is a situation that is regional. Here is a situation that we can fully control that is impacting on the lives of Black, White, Indo, Chino, Sino, all Barbadians and Caribbean people. And we are not finding the time to deal with it in the kind of way that it ought to be dealt with. And I think it leaves much to be desired. And I'm sorry, I do not find that it is fair that young people should be put in this position as a result of a pandemic that was not of their doing. And I really do feel that while we are grappling with all of the other issues, we need to deal with this one up front because this isn't fully in our control. So that brings me now to this whole question of the 11 plus. And the latest is that I am told the 11 plus is to be held on June 22nd this year, which is a delayed date that I have been given. I heard some suggestion that it was not going to be held. I have, however, scurried the news from the press conference last night, and I admit that I was not able to listen to it, and I heard nothing suggesting that it had been canceled. Some time ago, I was told the 11 plus was to be ended. And I am struggling, Deputy Prime Minister, sorry, I'm struggling, Minister Bradshaw, Senator Bradshaw, to understand what exactly is the reason that is holding us back from discontinuing this exam. It should not have happened last year, and I am appalled, quite frankly, that we are going to go with the exam again this year. The equity that that examination lacks is made considerably worse by the fact that you have underlying factors now that have been further eroded as a result of COVID. I had a case recently of a youngster with whom I am familiar, whose report card I was able to look at, and in several instances, he was unable to attend classes. And the comments of the teachers was that he needs to attend classes more regularly. So my question is, why is he not attending classes? In order to attend classes, he has to be able to log on. And logging on requires equipment. Logging on also requires an environment within which that equipment can be dealt with. There are several students who may have the equipment or who may have been able to borrow the equipment or procure it, but are essentially forced to undertake education in an environment that is less than perfect, where you have brothers and sisters around playing and screaming and cussing, where you do not have the supervision of parents that can assist you to ensure that the environment is one in which you can study. This is a challenge that is being faced by families all across Barbados. And while I am not suggesting this is the fault of any government, I think that in a situation like that, to put children in an environment that is competitive, knowing full well that some of the less fortunate are not going to be able to compete favorably, I think it is unfair and I think it is unreasonable. And I'm sorry, we are persisting with this nonsense in a way that I cannot understand what is the reason for that. If this government has the intestinal fortitude to move Nelson, if this government has the intestinal fortitude to declare Barbados a republic, if this government has the intestinal fortitude to decriminalize ganja and to recognize same-sex union, we can abandon this bastion of inequality known as the 11 plus. There's absolutely no excuse for it. I understand that there are some persons or some factors and some individuals that have discomfort, but such is the nature of the beast. When Nelson was moved, there were people that were uncomfortable about it, but we moved it because we know that there's a greater good that has to be served. Other matters of a more political nature, and I don't know how many of these we can discuss because we were running late today. Quickly, I'm comfortable with the idea of having a COVID communications team. I want to congratulate Her Excellency Liz Thompson for the appointment as head of that team. I think it was a very good decision that is made. Liz is easily one of the better communicators that has emerged from the Barbados Labour Party fold of late, and I think that she's well placed in that environment. I also want to congratulate Francois Jackman. Francois Jackman is a contemporary of mine who ironically was recruited to the Foreign Service around the same time that I did that competitive examination. I want to congratulate Francois. He is a person who has been made himself a career diplomat. And by returning him or by moving him to the United Nations, what has happened essentially is that government has taken what has been a political pick for a long time and moved it back to the public service. And I think that it speaks volumes about who will become Ambassador Jackman's credentials and his contribution that he's made in China. And I certainly want to wish him well for his sojourn in the United States of America at the United Nations, and I believe he will do well. That's political issues. The matter of COVID testing is entirely unacceptable. We have people who are waiting for tests for more than 7 days. I understand that there's a person waiting for a test for 10 days. I think it is entirely unacceptable. And I think that in light of this, government has to do everything possible to ameliorate the situation. And if one of them is paying tourists or covering the stay of tourists at the hotels, I really do not see why this should be a problem. The reality of the situation is that people are talking about why is government only looking out for tourists, forgetting that this government has been looking out for the average man from the beginning of this thing. And the average man has also to understand that the reason that government can look out for the average man is because of the fact that we get tourism dollars. Tourism is the mainstay of the Barbados economy. Tourism is the sacred cow of the Barbados economy. We cannot allow that sacred cow to be slayed on the basis of the fact that we can't get people's test results. And if it is that paying the stay will help, then I would say carry on smartly, because it is something that we have to do. There is no question that we need to do better in terms of testing. There's no question that the ball has been dropped regarding the testing regime. I am not in any delusion as to that reality, but we're in a situation now where we can only fix these problems. And I'm saying if this is what has been done to fix the problem, then I'm certainly with it. I want to talk a bit about the United States of America, but I don't believe I have enough time. I just want to say very quickly that, you know, bad leadership is expensive. And I think the Americans are realizing the cost, the high cost of bad leadership. But maybe we can talk more about that later. I spoke to former Minister Lashley earlier today regarding this whole question of people being able to go back to work or the inability to go back to work as a result of testing. And he's made some suggestions in that regard. I've reached out to Minister Lashley in the hope that we can track him down and have a conversation on air. And I'll try to do that over the course of this morning's with Mr. Dennis Johnson's assistance. Dennis may not realize that he is already been given Mr. Lashley's number. So this will be the number that you're seeing on the screen, Dennis. And I do hope that we can hear from him and we can engage with his good self regarding this important matter of people who are being told to come out to work, notwithstanding the fact that they have been told by the institutions that they have to remain at home until test results are available. Happy New Year also to Sandy. Sandy is a stalwart of education, and I'm hoping that Sandy's voice will be heard loud and clear on this whole matter of the 11 plus testing and testing in the COVID environment. And Sandy, I want to thank you also for your congratulations that have been conveyed. So let's get to the phone, 434-1790, email address, peter.w.wickham@gmail.com, or you can use the chat, 266-IVOB. Let me say good morning and welcome to the first caller. Good morning and welcome.
Yeah, good morning, Peter.
Hey, morning. How are you doing, sir?
Very good. No, I don't want to talk about this, but I can answer this. No. What really is education? Right? And the reason I answer that.
That sounds like a philosophical question that I don't know if I'm going to be able to wrap my head around quickly. So
because
you go ahead.
I find a lot of people, because they are passing an exam and they are good at paperwork and bookwork, they are placed in positions, and then they are placed in that position, they cannot get the work done. And they have to rely on people who have been in that position for years who does not have the academics but know the work. The sad thing about it, the ones who know the work and advise the ones that don't know it, they don't reap any benefits. And I think that is one of our letdowns. And I think that the sooner it is remedied, the better it will be. Now, I want to know who really is Edward Clark.
Who is who?
Edward Clark.
I
noticed that every time he read recommendations, they are swiftly implemented. Mm. Now, I would think that with the alphabetical order of shopping, that you're doing that to reduce the numbers that will go shopping on any one day or whatever. I would think that's the purpose for it. And I noticed that there are certain people, whenever they talk about this COVID, they're talking about it from a business perspective. They're not talking about people's well-being, you know. It's all about money. 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 I can go further, man. I'm going to further. Next thing, you ever been on a bus crawl?
If I ever went on a bus crawl?
Yeah.
A few years ago, I went on one, yeah. You went on one?
Never went. I would never go. No.
Why not? Why not?
Never went. I don't like crowds. That's one.
Okay.
Right? No.
You just go church? You just go, well, you're a Rastafarian, so you can't go to church. You just go temple?
Everybody go there?
Temple. The Rastafarians, isn't it temple or tabernacle? You just go tabernacle?
I don't like crowds, period.
But I'll see if he's going to tabernacle. You don't go in tabernacle to worship?
Answer your question, Peter. I want to get to my presentation before you dismiss me. Right?
All right, no problem. People talking
about, and I have spoken about this, and it seems that when I ask questions, nobody don't answer. I don't know if it is because the questions are nonsensical, or if they don't deserve answering, or if they don't have the answers. I still want to know how we can be talking about social distancing as a safety precaution, but yet we are having public transportation operating at full capacity, where you have people sitting down beside each other on a bus, as there are a minibus. Some wearing the mask below the nostrils, all kinds of things, and nobody is addressing it. This is a double standard. That's what your father tells you, and your mother tells you, something different. That's how you see it.
You said that when you travel on the bus, people is be under your nostrils.
I said, listen to me carefully. I'm talking on and respective of the social distancing. The cellar is more the.
I understand. But you said about people up under each other's nostrils.
When you are sitting beside each other in a bus, whether it's a transport board bus, a minibus, or Zadar, how can any social distancing be had in that situation? You're saying one thing, but you're allowing another thing. I said it again. You see this bus call thing? I see this being used as a scapegoat, you know. I remember the AIDS thing, and I would keep on saying that. I remember when it was highlighted, it was violently denied. We are seeing the results of it today. And I see that this situation is handled the same way. It's better to tell people what it is than to give the impression that everything is okay.
All right, Mr. P, thank you for calling. I appreciate your contribution, and I look forward to speaking to you again in the not-too-distant future. Good morning and welcome.
Happy anniversary. Is that appropriate?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much, Auntie America. It's good to hear from you.
It's also
good to hear you early up in the program. Usually you will roll a pitch for some excitement or rhetorically.
Well, I just hope to be with some fairness, but I'm nice to know that you are well and you had a nice travel and everything, and you went through all of the protocols and stuff up there, and that you could walk around freely. I got a friend, though. You know, he's the kind of guy that he got the impression that he could engage the opinion, no matter how diverse it is, because he believes he is capable of speaking, you know, on any particular point with confidence, you know, from any possible perspective. That's what he could do, and he could do it and engage it, you know, as long as you have a discussion that is within, you know, particular confines, right? If you go beyond those two goalposts, that's where the problem is start. Because he can't talk to you no more. He can find something and dismiss you and move forward. My friend is something else here. He always got these goalposts, and I don't know. The thing is, once you have goalposts, that means that they're set by somebody. And I know that friend could talk beyond them goalposts, but once they are set, whoever sets those goalposts, you cannot go beyond. And you know, you
Auntie, I want you to say what you got to say. The preamble ain't helping. We have a lot of time.
Right. No.
Skip the preamble. Because go on a long run. Up, just bowl. Bowl the ball.
The goalposts have moved within the original premise. You know, the premise was last year, we are going to protect the hospital and its ability to deliver health care to Barbadians. And there's always this fear that will be an overrun. Whatever we do has got to be about protecting the hospital's ability to deliver the goods when time comes. But what has been taking place since then doesn't seem to buttress that particular opinion. I mean, the reporting structure itself, if you're asking, you have shut down an entire industry. The whole nightlife industry is gone. All the people that play music, all the entertainers and stuff, gone. You ask them to hold strain for almost 12 months. Hold strain. We are all in this together. Them ain't making the money, but the ones who are saying we're in this together making a full salary. So they hold strain because they are supposed to be part of a process that is defending the right for Barbadians to health care. No virus can come here and stop that. But yet you're reporting numbers that tells you, because these guys need to be shown that their sacrifice is worth it. Let's tell you the number of people that have been tested positive, the number of people that have recovered, the number of people that have died. Then you go into how many men and how many women. What you're not telling people is the number of people that have impacted on Barbados's ability, healthcare facility to deliver the goods. How many people have been hospitalized? What percentage of the people who have been confirmed positive have had to go to the hospital because the pneumonia that they have cannot be treated on its own at home? Because normally pneumonia can't kill you, but it can get really bad in some people's cases where they have to go to the hospital and be treated. What? How many? You got 800 people who have had COVID. Of that 800, how many had to go to the hospital? Because all this is about protecting the hospital, you know. But instead of giving that information, you go about the place testing people left, testing people right. You know, if we have community spread or we have the vector kind of spread and stuff from a single source, it don't matter whether you test or not. You already have protocols, lifestyle protocols in place that would suggest that whether you got COVID or not, if you adhere to these protocols, it is not going to spread. That's what the protocols are supposed to say. So we are testing for. So you're putting all this money behind testing, know that the protocols are there already to protect people whether or not they have COVID, and bogging down the system and then spending money to facilitate the easing of that particular system when you ain't got no money to facilitate the hospital and making it any better. And furthermore, the people who have been made to sacrifice their time for the interest of Barbados are not being given the information to tell them that their sacrifice is actually worth it. You do not know how many people go to the hospital. You understand what I'm saying? Because the other guy can understand. So I'm speaking to the man who's supposed to be able to appreciate what it is.
I understand where you're coming from. But let me tell you why I don't... I mean, and I've listened to you in other fora making that same point. But let me tell you why I don't know that your point is relevant. Your argument is relevant. Government has an obligation to tell us about cases because they have been standards, as I understand it, that indicate based on the number of cases, then the likelihood that you would have someone needing hospitalization and the likelihood that you would have someone needing a ventilator, et cetera, et cetera. If those are what you could say internationally accepted standards in terms of the numbers, would it not make a lot of sense to say, if you see your numbers climbing to the point where it is likely that someone might get sick to the point where the person may need a ventilator or the person may die, that it would make sense to ensure that your numbers are in check before you get to the stage where you are having those problems, especially bearing in mind that the person who may very well end up on a ventilator is your mother or my mother. Your mother alive?
My mother is very much alive. Thanks for asking.
Right. So your mother or my mother might end up on the ventilator, and we wouldn't want that. Okay. So the point is that if it is that we can ensure the numbers are kept in check among well people like you and me that may go to a bus crawl and walk up, then I think our alternative to go down the West Coast and have a drink at a bar. If that is what we are doing, I don't think that is unreasonable. And,
okay.
And you're making a reasonable point that there has not been a lot of information. To the best of my knowledge, no one is sick in a real sense. It's basically the point you're making. So we have all of these infections, but nobody right now is sick to the point where the person needs ventilation or the person needs serious care. And I think that that's a significant observation that needs to be made. At the same time, however, I do not allow that to lull me into this comfort that feels that as long as nobody is sick, that nothing has happened.
Okay.
The space that I live in now, they still have infections in the thousands, right? The vast majority of people that I know who live in this country who have gotten sick with COVID have recovered at home and have either been asymptomatic or alternatively the main problem is that they couldn't smell the coffee on the morning, right? Or they couldn't smell the wine that they were drinking. But there are some people who have been critically ill. And I'm saying that if you want to avoid touching those people, then you got to deal with the ones who will walk about and go to a bar and drink a drink, like you.
Yeah, okay. No, here's the
Over
thing,
to
right?
you, sir.
Yeah. No, you're saying that information will give some kind of indication as to whether or not, you know, the chances are. But the real thing is that half of the private sector has gone home. It is real that people do not earn a living. It is also real that there was no consideration given to any kind of balance that says, if I'm going to have to send these people home, I'm going to have real numbers that suggest the reason for sending them home in the first place was valid. We can't really go along no more believing that, or if our numbers go up, then the possibility of overflowing the hospital is going to be a year
auntie,
in a month's time where people have been
sent auntie,
home.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. Auntie, hold on. Auntie, hold on. No, I am with you, but do you not think, right, that a big part of the reason why... Auntie, give me a break. Auntie, give me a break. Do you not think that a big part of the reason that we're having this problem is because government took that exact position that said we need to allow the economy to breathe over Christmas? So that's the reason why you had boat cruises. That's the reason why you had bus crawls. That's the reason why you had everywhere open, because government was saying, look, let's see if we can let the economy that is dependent on entertainment breathe a little bit over that period. We have established the fact that the situation has gotten out of hand. So you're going to pull back the reins.
No, the entertainment industry did not bring COVID to Barbados in the first place. People crawling did not have that happen. The failure came at the gate, and failure came when it came to policing quarantine. If you want to fix those, that is fine. But you cannot expect people to continue suffering, not making a living for an entire year, and probably going to be shutting down crop over again this year, and not have them know that their reason for doing so was in fact valid. There's no information that says that people are actually getting sick to going to the hospital. So if that is the case, and I suspect, let me ask you a question. If you were in this position, that you had information that says, well, nobody really getting sick, and that everything you did last year was a complete, probably a waste or an embarrassment to yourself because it was an overkill, would you purposely bring that information to the public and expose that people have suffered unnecessarily? I think not. It could be enough people getting sick and the hospital is actually overrun, or in fact only two people got sick. Why not just bring the information to the public so those guys like myself who are involved in entertainment in some way and can't make a ready living for a whole year need
what to part are you involved so in entertainment?
So that we would
The only what entertainment that you involve in is walking up on women when crop overcome. You don't even involve in the entertainment. What entertainment you involved in?
But you keep talking as if you're friends and we know one another, but I never meet you in public.
I know you well, and I see you about the place walking up on people confusing them. Any woman with a big bottom, you there when crop overcome. But look, the point is this, right? I accept your argument. I think this is a point that has to be made, that somehow or the other, the barrier that was put in place, the ring fence that was put in place around people coming in was breached and COVID was allowed into the system. I don't think that anybody is deluded. So clearly the systems and mechanisms that were put in place with the best of intentions to stop it from coming into Barbados were breached. So the point is that if your primary barrier is those protocols and they have been breached, your secondary barrier has to be dealing with industries that would allow the spread to take place.
Yeah.
Anti-America, I'm resident in France. There are no bars, there are no restaurants, there are no shops open. You can go and buy food and take it away, but you cannot dine in anywhere because they have determined that kind of social interaction, the idea of sitting down and having a glass of wine, and especially when people get intoxicated, they are very difficult to control.
I can tell you, right?
I went on Second Street over the Christmas holidays and it was very, very difficult because you go down there and you're wearing a mask. From the time you have the first drink, it's all good. But by the time you get to the third, social distancing is a complete and total it's a foreign concept.
Okay, well yeah.
You see your friends, you're hugging them, etc. Because that is what it is all about. So I'm saying how you gonna wear a mask and hug up people like that? This is not the way that we roll.
It's a minor inconvenience, but I'm just saying to you, all of that sacrifice has to be measured and justified in some way. And if the information is saying that the numbers that go to hospital, which is the primary objective, not the testing, because this undercapacity with testing was never part of the equation. It was always about the protection of the hospital. If the numbers do not support that the hospital is being challenged by these particular results, well, therefore, you're only telling people to suffer unnecessarily. And that is why you need to have information. Because if people are being asked to wear masks, social distance, and nothing is really happening at the hospital, I mean, if you people used to coming in with a flu and a cold, and rather than coming with a flu and a cold, they're coming in with COVID instead. In other words, all you're doing is reclassification of sickness. But then, therefore, when we're going through this, all I'm asking is...
Auntie, I have...
Number of people who are...
I have confidence... My final word on this is that I have confidence in the health authorities, and if they say to me that they are taking these measures to ensure that nobody ends up in the hospital sick, and that is a precaution that I would say let's do that. Let's do that, because I do worry that the person that may end up on life support is my mother or your mother. And if they end up on life support at that age, they're not coming back. So let's be clear. We gotta protect old people like Dennis.
You're well past that split impairment, man. That mentality. we are educated enough to
anyhow,
pass
that. Auntie, we can roll on that point. I want to thank you for your contribution, stimulating as always. Somebody online is telling me that what you really miss is grinding upon young girls at Crop Over, and I suspect that that is the source of your fundamental problem. But don't worry, you will whine again, as the Queen said. You will whine again. We will hug again. We will do all those things that we used to do again, and hopefully sooner rather than later.